Grace to you and mercy from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, our Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you a bit from the book of John as he just read. It speaks about hearing voices in the book of John. We're called sheep. The shepherd's voice rings out and his sheep follow him. And among other things, Christ calls to his sheep and he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." And he says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He'll never let the righteous fall." Christ calls his sheep to trust in him alone, to follow only him, to listen closely to his voice, and he'll take care of us. He will not let the righteous fall. The voice is speaking. It hasn't changed. It speaks clear enough. It seems to be loud enough. He calls with the same intensity that he's always called with, through the word and through the sacraments, through the power of that Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a bit about some sheep in Liberia, West Africa. When we were there as evangelistic missionaries, many sheep heard the call of Jesus Christ, their shepherd, and they followed him. They found that proclamation of the word. They found baptism, and they found the confirmation of their faith and forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper, something that kept them close to their shepherd, Jesus Christ. In fact, when we left, there were over 300 baptized members in the church, and 225 of those people were adult, confirmed Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members. The fear is always that after you leave, then the wolves will come and destroy all the work that has gone on before. But the call by Christ is powerful to hold. As it says in John, "No one can snatch the sheep out of my hand." When we left, the war began. And of the 2.5 million people that live in Liberia, over half of them were displaced. Many of them had to flee to another country or the neighboring countries there. One of our lay leaders, Nathaniel, he was arrested and he was thrown in jail after being beaten to be killed. But as you read the book of Acts, so the same happened with him. The door of the jail was open and he was able to escape along with his family and children, his wife, to Sierra Leone. And he continues his ministry there among the Kono people rather than the Kisi at this time. Henry Kano, a trained evangelist, he returned shortly after we left. We didn't hear anything about churches or what was happening among all those sheep in Liberia for almost 2 years, and finally received a letter from Henry. He said there was a lot of disarray in the middle of that war, but he said this also in his letter. He said, "During this civil war, people find their lives secure by being a Christian. Since I began my evangelistic ministry, I baptized 80 to 100 persons. Reverend Paul, the church here is really progressing." The call of Christ's voice and the power in which he holds his people safe is testified to by the Kisi Lutherans here in Liberia. They're a living testimony, a living witness to every one of us of the promise that is in John when our shepherd speaks. The gracious love of God, and not only the love that he shows by calling, but the love that he shows by holding, as it says in John, "Even until eternity, no one can snatch them out of my hand." Yet you and I both know that no person or no people group can come to hear that voice unless there's someone there to proclaim that message. And so this church here needs some faithful and dedicated ministers of the word, as well as faithful and dedicated lay people to be gospel proclaimers of that word out in the world. All of us who have been given calls, and all the Christians who have been given calls, not just to follow, but also to proclaim so that others can follow as well, their shepherd. Just recently, many of you received a special call into the ministry to be those special gospel proclaimers. And maybe having thoughts about that whole thing, as well as those who have been received vicarage placements. Maybe not publicly, but at least privately, we often come up with concerns like, "Well, I'm not really a country boy," or, "That's so far away from home," or, "I'm not a city boy," or, "How can I function in that cross-cultural ministry that I've been called to?" Or, "What we're going to receive is just not going to be enough for my wife and children. How are we going to live?" Or, well, you can probably all supply their questions yourself. You know, among all those voices that we hear within our heads, do we hear the voice of our shepherd calling? Do we instead hear all the voiced concerns of fear, or maybe even pride, or even excuses, even within our own community at CTS? We try to maintain our own, sometimes often only perceived integrity at the expense of kingdom building, at the expense of building up the body of Christ. You know, has our hearing been so distorted that instead of following our shepherd's call closely, we even add our own trumpet battle cry and draw followers to ourselves? Should we not instead be saying, as Paul, when he quotes Jeremiah, "Boast only in the Lord," and he continues on, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We seek guidance, and so we say we hear that guidance. And then after it's been translated into another language through the thick wax of sin within our ears, it's no longer the voice of Jesus Christ, our shepherd, we hear, but the beckoning of Satan's temptations. And no wonder, Paul writes, "For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." But you and I, we believe we hear our shepherd's voice. Jesus himself warns us. He says, "Watch out for false prophets," and I might add our own motives and our own desires and our own purposes and intentions. "For they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." We become like the Israelites in their apostasy. Jeremiah writes, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for those ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." We hear our shepherd's voice. We hear his call. We want to follow in the road of pridelessness, sinlessness, fearlessness, but somehow we seem to end up on dead-end alleys. Yet there is hope. Christ isn't only our shepherd, he's our good shepherd. He's not the hired hand who runs away when the wolves come, but he stays there and fights for his sheep. He remains behind to fight and offers his suffering service to us as we neglect to hear his voice and follow him. He will lead us, and he does lead us, and he stands right next to us when the wolves start circling around. You know how wolves circle around their prey? Christ stands in the middle of that with us, our shepherd. And in Liberia, the machine guns, the beatings, the humiliation, the threats, and oftentimes, yes, even death became the wolves that were attacking and trying to destroy the thing that Christ, our shepherd, had started there. But as I said, Henry writes, it's within the church. It's in the comfort of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior, and the comfort of knowing Jesus Christ as their shepherd, that keeps them true and keeps them safe. And that's where they found peace. And some of you may even struggle now with, where's that peace? Where's that voice? I want to follow that voice closely, but it's awfully difficult to hear right now. It's there. The voice of Jesus Christ, our shepherd, is calling out to all of us. It's there. Last Friday night, I was at a banquet, and the man that was speaking was talking about his little son, a six-year-old boy, and he says, "My little son wants to grow up to be like Michael Jordan." And he says he can pass the ball and he can dribble the ball well, but there's chances are pretty slim that he'll grow up to be like Michael Jordan. One of the reasons is this man said, was my son's ethnic background is Filipino. There's not too many 6'6" Filipinos walking around in the world right now. And secondly, he says, when my small boy, six-year-old boy, was younger, he contracted polio and he has a brace on his leg. But every now and then, his father says, my son comes up to me and he recognizes all this stuff. And he says to me, "Well, Dad, do you think that maybe I could still be a coach?" You know, maybe we need to listen more closely to the voice of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's ringing out true and clear. Problem is, we're a bit deaf. But we have a great physician that removes our deafness. The wax which fills our ears, the sinful earplugs that we put there when we want to follow our own agendas, when we don't want to listen to Jesus Christ, our shepherd's voice, it's all been forgiven through the suffering and death that our shepherd gave for us when he lays down his life for his sheep. Peter preaches, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing can come from the Lord." And God promises that as far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed our sins and transgressions from us, we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. How can you be so sure that we have a good shepherd or a faithful shepherd? It's not human wisdom. It's not human logic. It's not even a human promise. It comes from the very mouth of God himself. For the shepherd, as it says in John, and the Father are one. Our shepherd is God. He's not a human, and he cannot lie. He's the same shepherd who called those sheep in Liberia, the Kisi Christians, the Kisi Lutherans there, to follow him, and continues to hold them and protect them. My son has been having some problems with hearing recently too. And we thought he was just ignoring us. But then we figured maybe there's something else there. Maybe he's got a bunch of dirt and wax in his ears too. We'd speak to him and he'd look right at us and concentrate and really have to struggle hard to understand what we were saying. It was really funny sometimes. We'd talk to him and he'd look at us and he'd answer the question and it wouldn't even be the answer to the question. It's something completely different. And my daughter sitting right next to him would just laugh. She thought that was so funny that he couldn't hear the question and she could. Chances are I have the same problem. I always have to have my ears washed out because they fill up. And so my son will probably have to have the same thing done with him periodically so that he can hear clearly. It's just a real good example, a real good illustration of our own sinfulness. Now, we constantly need the washing of Christ's blood in our dirty ears. May God enable every one of us to see and recognize the sinful wax that we've put within the ears of our own life. Amen.